Welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. Tonight we've got a really special guest, but before we get to that, we'll let Ramon go through a couple of things here.
Yeah, just want to let you know about our website. Make sure you check it out so you find out what guests we have. You could look at Tom's Rice Experiment and anything else that we have. We have links. That is www.conscious-tv.com. And
I think I need to expand on that Rice Experiment thing a little bit before we get into this, Ramon. Well, I'm doing the Emoto Rice Experiment, which is a very simple experiment that anybody can do at home, and I actually would encourage anybody to do it, because what it'll do for you is it'll prove the effect of consciousness on the material world. You can find all the details on the website. I'll briefly go over it. You take three containers, three equal amounts of rice, three equal amounts of water. You add them all together, and you add them, the water and rice, in three separate cups. Then you every day say to one cup, "I love you, you're the best thing in the world." The second cup you say, "You idiot, I hate you." And then you ignore the third cup and just observe it for 30 days or longer. Just observe it. You'll see amazing effects right off the bat. So anyways, you can follow. I'm documenting it on a website, and you can follow mine, or I encourage you to do this yourself, because when you do it yourself, it brings it home and it makes it real and something that you can actually know. So anyways, who do we got tonight, Ramon?
We have Miriam Delgado, and she has The Writings of Blue Star Begun. And after an experience in 1988, I asked to write a book for the beings. I had an encounter explaining who they were at their request. The idea and acceptance of this task was not easy. 15 years after they intentionally requested this of me, I began writing. Not only did complete acceptance take place, but the time was right as well. Although I have no formal education or degree, my intelligence and intellect imply otherwise. Contact began with me at birth and is ongoing. I feel I have been groomed for my role in this cosmic event as a messenger, the beings from afar. They have provided me with the education. They have become my teachers in this life. And more, I feel that everyday life on this planet is a great gift to be cherished, honored, and respected. And that's from Miriam Delgado. Miriam, how are you today?
I'm very good, Ramon. And Tom, thank you so much for having me on the show. And thanks for a great intro. You have me curious to go to the website myself and check out the Rice progress.
We're on day 10 now.
Oh, really? Well, you know, this kind of ties into my experiences that I've had and why I'm doing the work that I'm doing now, because, of course, it actually all ties into consciousness and where we're heading into the future, and how our consciousness and our thoughts and our choices of today can actually bring us into a far more balanced world than we are currently living in. And of course, this has been something that these star beings have spoken to me about since the very first time I remembered. I had the conscious memory at 22 years old of seeing them, and then having the flashbacks of being with them years prior. But the first conscious memory was when I was 22. And that was one of the primary pieces of information that they were talking to me about, is consciousness and how through our thoughts we had the ability to change our future. So this is a great introduction to the show today. Thank you.
Right.
I have a quick question. Sorry, Tom. I want to ask you a little bit of a weird question. Have we ever met before? Physically?
I don't know, Ramon. I meet a lot of people, and I've done a fair amount of traveling in around California in the United States and Arizona. But other than that, I'm not sure.
That's a cheap pickup line, Ramon. Come on.
No, the reason why I'm asking you, Miriam, is because I went to East City, James Gilliland's ranch up in Trout Lake The first time, 2009. Mm-hmm. And I swore that I saw you speak. I spoke to you. You even spoke to me in Spanish. And then I went the next year, and I was told that, no, you weren't up there. You've never spoken. And I said, yes, she did. And I argued about it. And they was like, no, look. And they showed me proof that you weren't there. So I'm wondering if I jumped on a different timeline or I'm just going nuts. So that's why I was asking you that.
You actually opened the door to a fascinating, quite a fascinating phenomenon that happens with me. I will tell you a couple of stories about this, Ramon, and I'll leave it to you to decide what it is that happened, because I don't have an explanation. All I can say is what my own experience has been. For example, I managed to finish writing the book Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy near the end of 2007. In around October of 2007 was when I put it into the publisher for a self-published book. And it was around that time, shortly after, I believe it was the end of November, when I finally got the book in my hands and I started to sell it on my website and got a little bit of, you know, exposure. By January of that year, or the following year, 2008, I was on Coast to Coast Radio for the first time. And this was a very big deal, and I had a lot of people contacting me. One of the people that contacted me was a woman who was from California. And in this email, she continually asked me repeatedly, have I met you? Have I met you? And so she, just some of the key things that she said in this email perked my interest, and I ended up speaking with her on the phone. What was fascinating was that she specifically had said that that she swore that she met me at a Sundance in California, and that I had told her all about the Blue Star and all about the prophecy of the Blue Star and all about the Hopi and the star beings and all of this other information. Now, what was remarkable was that she read my book after it came out, of course. But she swore that she met me prior to reading the book. And there's nothing that I can do to convince her that this was not me. Now, a couple of years, was it last year maybe? I do so much traveling around, it's hard for me to keep track of time, quite literally. It's kind of funny. But what happened was, last year, I believe it was, I was in Canada. And I was at a gathering there, and I walked up, and as soon as I got to this location, the very first person that walked past me was a woman. She walked past me, and I said hello, and smiled, you know, just wanted to make contact with whoever was around, say hello, and kept walking. She stopped, turned, and said, hey, aren't you the Blue Star woman? Aren't you the Blue Star woman? And I kind of looked at her and I said, sure. Yeah, I guess so. And so she started to speak with me, and she said, oh, and you know, it was great meeting you yesterday. And I said, oh, that wasn't me. And she said, yes, it was. She said, I met you in the, this restaurant or something. I can't remember what it was, but you know, yesterday. Or bookstore. I met you at the bookstore yesterday. I said, I wasn't at the bookstore yesterday. I wasn't even in this town yesterday. I just arrived. I drove in from Vancouver. She said, no, I met you. She said, you told me all about the Blue Star. You told me all about the prophecy. You told me all about the star beings. And she said, and you said that your name was Blue Star. Now, the woman in California, a couple of years prior, also said the same thing, that I said that my name was Blue Star. So what I can tell you, Ramon, is that you would not be the first person who has had this kind of experience. And in fact, it has become, you know, initially when these things, these crazy
I'm getting goosebumps.
incidents happened around me, people did not quite know, you know, I didn't know how to handle it, to be honest. And now it's just part of the phenomenon that goes on around me, period. What I can say is this, is that I can't tell you what it is that happens, but something does. And many people have sworn that they have met me, had very detailed conversation with me. And quite often I do talk about the blue, apparently talk about the blue star, the prophecy, the star beings. The fact that I spoke Spanish to you, Ramon, is interesting also because I do speak a little bit of Spanish. That would be my question. How was my Spanish, Ramon?
You had an American accent, but you spoke fluently, but you had an American accent. So
yo tengo poquito español, es muy malo.
Just like that. Just like that.
So yo no tengo mucho gramática. So that's my Spanish.
So basically, she says she doesn't have a lot of grammar, but it was a little more fluent than that. But it was fluent. Mm-hmm. So I just find it crazy because I asked, "Oh, how come you guys didn't have Miriam? Because she was so great." She's like, "Miriam's never been here." So yeah, that's something to be written down.
I'm turning the tables on you, Ramon, because I find this fascinating. Well, my question to you is, are you saying that with this experience that I was a presenter in front of the crowd, or was this a one-on-one encounter?
Both. Ever since they told me that, I started to question whether I was delusional. But yeah, you did present. And I remember talking to people and them saying, and then when I asked them the next year when I saw them, they were like, "No, she wasn't there." So I'm the only one who has memory of this.
Mm.
Or maybe I dreamed it and can't tell the difference. I shouldn't question it. I should just accept.
See, this is the wonderful thing about this phenomenon. And you know, to get into this just a little step further here, people have one woman, for example, woke up in the middle of the night, looked over at her computer and saw my face staring back at her. Wow. I've had people who have had who have insisted that I sent them emails when I haven't. People have woken up in the middle of the night and say that I'm standing at the end of their bed and I speak to them. They have, and you know, this isn't a massive amount of people that have confided these things in me, but it most certainly is enough where I do not believe that you are delusional, Ramon. I believe that you had what I would call a very unique and special experience. And for whatever reason, whatever gift was given to you through that experience, it was obviously meant for you to have that as a gift. Because in this world of the seen and the unseen, which is what how you started the show, it's talking about the unseen world of thought and how these thoughts and the verbalization of "I love you, I hate you," you know, and not talking to the rice can actually transform into a physical outcome that is very uniquely different between all three of those things is very interesting. And I believe for myself that with all of the experiences that I've had and all the teachings that I've had from these star beings, from all of my own insights and my experiences, I can truly say that life is not as it appears to be, and that it's actually a very it's a very unique perspective for each and every individual that's here, and we have collective experiences that's clear. But through these collective experiences, sometimes the individuals have the ability to change those collective experiences through, you know, world meditations, world prayers, making personal choices, that type of thing. So it's actually fascinating that you shared that with me, and I'm really grateful because it gives me an opportunity to share with the listeners a little bit more about the concept of reality that we actually live in and how one person's perspective and one person's view does not always necessarily coexist with everyone else's. And it does not mean that you're crazy. I think you're crazy when you start to harm people. I think you're crazy when you start to do things that are not in a positive, on a positive path, meaning, you know, hurting yourself or hurting other people or hurting the earth. That I think is crazy. The rest of it I think is acceptable because you're tapping into something that's a different type of energy. And as long as it's not hurting you or taking over every aspect of your life, there is no reason to fear it and walk away from it or to even really question it. Just allow it, accept it for what it is, and move forward.
Yeah. So I would like you to tell us a little bit about how you got into this, a quick overview, and then we'll get into the Hopi.
How I got into the whole phenomenon of the ETs and what happened there, is that what you're asking?
Yes. I'd like to hear about that one experience where that physical contact one, that first one you had. Not the ones that you had to recall, but the ones that you consciously had. I believe you were driving in a car with some relatives. Is that correct?
Some friends. Yes. Well, I this story has been told and retold so many times. I'm going to barrel through it. But in 1988, when I was 22 years old, I was driving on a highway with three adults and a child in a car. And some big round lights that looked almost like headlights were following us for quite a few hours. During this time, the radio station that we had in the car would kept changing. Sort of strange phenomenon was happening in that regard. The lights would fall back, meaning that it would look like a car that would just slow down and disappear when we would come into a town or drive past another vehicle or a house or anything along those lines. Now, this was in the middle of the night on a highway in just north of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. After several hours of this happening, again, I'm going to leave out a lot of detail here. After several hours of these lights following us, the car ended up pulling over to the side of the road. Everyone in the car seemed to look like they were in suspended animation. I don't know how to describe it because they didn't look like they were breathing or moving or anything. I was the only one that appeared to be awake. I looked around the car. It was engulfed in light. Behind the car were these two balls of light. It looked like light was actually coming from above, even below the car and in front. And in front was a small craft, a UFO, where, you know, out of this misty air, because it was very cold outside, this misty air came these little beings that were, they had black eyes that were round, and they looked almost childlike. So some people refer to these as a specific type of, quote, gray, but not the big scary ones that are, you know, wrinkly skin, but totally different.
Excuse me for a second. Do you remember what you were feeling? What were you feeling right during that?
Oh, I was scared. Oh yeah. My heart was pounding. I kept saying, you know, a lot of things inside my head, like what's going on, what the H is going on. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. You know, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I wouldn't go so far as to say terrified, but I was pretty close. You know, I don't want to say terrified because people get the wrong idea. Right. I'd have to more clearly define it. Yes, I was afraid. Absolutely. Then when they led me down the highway a little bit, one of them grabbed my hand they felt cold to the touch. And we ended up going down the highway a little bit where up on this embankment was a much larger craft. And at this larger craft, these two tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed beings were standing in a doorway. They looked like pale, pale, almost translucent-like skin, blue eyes that were the bluest of Mediterranean blue waters or sky blue, you know, sky blue blue. They had white hair that looked whiter than snow itself. They were very thin, tall. They were wearing robes, and I ended up going on board the craft with them, and I recognized them. I said, "What are you doing here? Why can't you just leave me alone?" Now, again, people question, they say, "Well, why would you be saying that?" And it's like, you know, when your parents call you to come in for dinner after you've been playing outside all day with your friends, what's the first thing you say? Mm-hmm. "Oh, do I have to come in? Do I have to?" Now, I'm not going to say that they're superior as much as I'm going to say that they're different than us, all right? And that they have a very unique perspective from where they come and where they're going, where they are. And we can definitely benefit from learning and just hearing what it is that they're sharing with us. Because when I sat on board that craft, they showed me what I call a television screen, almost like a holographic image popping up in front of me, and showed me images of our world, our future, our potential, our possible futures. They showed me past worlds. They showed me parts of the universe. They showed me who I was in past lives. And they shared a lot of information about the universe itself and how life coexists within, you know, how that energy of life actually flows, which is, again, goes back to the rice that you were talking about at the beginning of the program, and how things are not as they appear to be. And so they gave me warnings about how if humanity continued on the same path that it was currently on, that we would be going down a destructive path, period. And that earth changes were coming in our future, and that depending on how we conducted ourselves using our thoughts and using our choices would depend on, this would be a determining factor as to how it is we move through the future and how we progressed into the future. And so these were some of the things that were shown and shared with me. This has led me to, they wanted me to share my story with the world. They didn't sit me down and say, "Okay, Miriam, what we want you to do is write a book." They said, we want you to share the story with the world. And so that, you know, for me equates to writing a book and talking on radio programs and television in any way that I can get the story out. So that's what I'm doing. And it's a very beautiful story because it was not easy for me to accept all of this responsibility. It was not easy for me to even accept that it was real for the longest time, because not being around people like myself for years and years and years, you kind of get isolated. And when I had this experience in 88, there was no such thing as television programs, you know, every 5 minutes talking about UFOs and aliens. If you said UFO, people would say, "What is that?" If you said alien, they said, "What are you talking about?" They literally didn't know in 1988. So that's how far our paradigm has shifted since 1988. And the reason why I'm doing the work that I am with the Great Gathering and the forming of the Great Gathering and what that's all about actually comes from a place of great and beautiful insight into into this beautiful vision that was given to me through this very spiritual experience with these beings, in how our reality and our world can change into a more positive place if we choose to do the work to get there.
Right. So, you know, looking out right now, things are, considering the crap that we see, if you watch the news, you know, you look out, things are just going to hell right now in a handbasket. society-wise. But on the other hand of that, I see a lot of people that are actually waking up and starting to ask the right questions. Are you getting any indicators? And I don't really want to quantify this, but any indications of us turning in the right direction?
If I didn't believe that we were turning in the right direction, I'd be living on a beach having a great holiday right now, Tom.
There you go. There you go. Okay. That's the answer I expected, actually. But
you know, my question, only... if I might just add that it is only through chaos and the breaking down of a foundation that is, you know, and tearing it apart, can we actually create a new foundation. But in saying that, I don't mean, and I in no way, shape, or form do I feel that we need to go against the current systems that we have in place. All we need to do is look at them and ask ourselves how we can make them different and how we can make them better. We don't need to destroy what we already have. We just need to accentuate areas that will better facilitate a good life for our children and our grandchildren into the future. And that this is really an important part and aspect of the spiritual awakening of humanity. Because if you look at the key elements that are in place for people around the world, for what's happening and what we're seeing happening in this great awakening, is that the human spirit is being awakened to question who they are, why they're here, what their purpose is, what's going on around them, what is the purpose of family, what's the purpose of community, what's the purpose of leadership. And but through that process, we are becoming more connected with ourselves, ultimately, which is what we should be. And then by doing so, we become more connected to the earth and each other. And that is definitely becoming stronger every day. I mean, look at yourselves. You started a wonderful program here, and you're interviewing people. You're taking your personal responsibility, and you're moving forward with it. And I commend you for that, and I thank you.
I thank you, because if it wasn't for people like you, we wouldn't have a show. So, as far as the Great Gathering, is it more of conscious thing? A physical or both?
Well, I am happy to tell you that right now with the Great Gathering website, which I've been working on for a year, literally, I am very, very, we, the team that I'm working with, are very close to actually getting it up. It's been a difficult process because I've been very demanding about what I want on the site and how I want it to function. And I've waited for the right person to come along to be a part of that team to put the site together and the right people to come together to do it. And so in this process, I'm also forming a 501c3 nonprofit for the Great Gathering. And the wonderful... the wonderful news I have for you is that through this process for myself, I can tell you very clearly defining what the Great Gathering is. The Great Gathering is about different elements coming together. First of all, it's about the protection, not necessarily the protection, but the facilitating holding on to ancient knowledge of all kinds, whether they be from the indigenous world or the ancient cultures, okay? The preservation of ancient cultures, beliefs, information, knowledge on healing, language, all of that sort of thing. Because the ancient cultures...
My chihuahuas. That was my chihuahua. Sorry about that.
Hello, chihuahuas. The ancient peoples of, it's very distracting, holy, of our world have a great deal of knowledge to share with us. And it's really critical that we pay attention to the messages that they're coming forward right now and bringing out to the world. So that's the first thing. That's the first part of the Great Gathering, is that ultimately all of these different tribes and nations from around the world are coming together to speak to one another for the very first time, talking about their prophecies and such. So the Great Gathering is intended to assist in whatever way they choose to share some of that with the world. So we intend on getting messages from them and then simply sharing them free of charge to the people. That's one thing. The second part of it is that it's about bringing together information and knowledge from the scientific world, from the technical world, and from scholars from around the world and people that have information to share on sustainable products, sustainable projects, sustainable ideas. Sustainable meaning that it is for the betterment of humanity and the earth, and that it brings about a positive change or infrastructure that can then be built on within communities and cities around the world. So we're intending on beginning projects around the earth, around the planet, as long as our funding is provided, to be able to start a project, get people trained in it, and then have them pay it forward so that it blossoms back out and then actually does create change on a grassroots level. Also, there is the aspect of physically bringing people together into gatherings to share information and knowledge. And I'm going to tell you that the plan that we have for that, I'm going to keep a little bit top secret for now, because it's going to blow everyone's minds once we get to that point of how we're going to share that with the audience from around the world. Also, bringing people together that can create actual projects that will facilitate those paying it forward changes that we need so desperately at this time. Also, it's about bringing people together from around the world to begin conversations. And this is where the spiritual aspect of it, or the religious aspect of it, comes into play. Because the conscious coming together of humanity, is critical in our changing time, because it is the only path. It is the only path to change. One person, one group, one organization cannot possibly change the world. I believe that one person can motivate the world to change, but it takes the world to actually get on board and start doing the work to make it happen. So one person has the ability to change the world through that motivation, that public speaking, and we've seen this when we look at people like Martin Luther King, or Gandhi, or Mother Teresa, or the Dalai Lama, or the people like this, Nelson Mandela. And that truly is, if you take a look at each one of those people that managed to motivate, that managed to bring people together and bring them forward into creating positive change, one thing that I believe each one of them had is a spiritual or religious base within them to do that. And so, yes, I do believe that the spiritual consciousness of humanity is playing a role, and a very critical one, in the further development of our world, and the further development of what it is that we want for our future. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did, actually. I was going to mention that one of the have you ever heard of, I think it's called Ecodome or Ecohome, not Ecohome, but like Ecodome, where they're similar in the sense that what they do is they build these houses made of dirt, pure dirt, and then they put clay on the outside, and they're very cheap to make. I think it's like $5,000 to $10,000 to make one of these homes. And their idea is to teach people how to make this so they can go to other parts of the world and do the same thing. So when you were talking about this, I was just thinking of different things that people are actually doing that are similar to what you're doing.
Absolutely. And I actually have been to see them. They're out in California.
Yes.
Cal Earth. Yes. I have been to Cal Earth. I actually went to Cal Earth. I was there the same day as I had my car accident in LA of all places. but it was a really wonderful, experience. This is the thing. This is the key. It's only through a spiritual acceptance of one another, spiritual or religious acceptance of one another in whatever form, okay, whether it's spiritual, religious, or other, until we begin to have a really great respect for each other as human beings, we are not going to be able to create massive change. Now, all of these groups and organizations that are around the world have all been working tirelessly on their own, what I would say is they're very focused on what they're doing. For example, Cal Earth is focused on these dome buildings. That's their mandate. That's what they focus on. That's what they've been doing. What I'm suggesting is that once the Great Gathering website actually gets into movement, and gets flowing, it will actually be able to link people up from around the world to be able to get more information and exposure about the project that they're doing with Cal Earth, for example, and link it up with another organization in Zambia, for example, and that information may be a little bit easier to find and follow and to actually follow through on with the way that the Great Gathering is going to be put together. And so the Great Gathering is also going to be a great informational site to bring groups, people, and organizations together for their information. And there's going to be a forum area where, you know, no matter where you're living, it's going to take you, you know, pretty much 3 minutes to sign up to the Great Gathering website, go to the forum, and find out if there's people in your local area that are interested in the Great Gathering or in facilitating some type of a project or that have the same thinking as you do. And it's going to be very quick and easy for you to do that. And so it's about putting people and people together. And that actually does have to do with the consciousness, because the thread through all of this is that the people coming, the people participating, are all focused on the same conscious thought, which is humanity and the earth, self-sustainability, respect, honor, and moving forward. It's based on these things.
Yeah, I would like to add on to that. What I've noticed in my life personally is that once I started to learn how to love myself and learn to respect myself and really try to find more about my spirituality, that I noticed that I would get answers. And I know this happens to you a lot, Miriam, where you start getting answers very easy, whether through a vision or someone happens to mention it before you even ask the question. And then I feel like from there, it becomes easier to change the world. But as I always say, if you don't have your things together, or if your bridges are broken around you, then it's kind of hard to fix your neighbor's bridge.
It makes a bit of a difference on how you actually term your question. Kind of popped into my head. Mother Teresa said that she would not go to a war rally, but she'll go all day long to peace rallies. So, you know, an anti-war gathering. She would go all day long to peace rallies. So, I think it has something to do with the way you're framing your questions too, and that's the consciousness thing. Because I think there's a certain aspect of what we are experiencing here that is kind of non-personal. The universe wants to deliver everything that we're asking for, but we got to term it right. We got to know what we're asking for, and we have to speak in its language. If that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely. There is universal language, and that universal language, I say this to myself And I say this to other people, and I say it to myself a lot, be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get exactly what you're asking for. So make sure that you use the right words and you choose right. them very, very carefully. There is something to be said about that, because for myself, I speak a lot with people. Building this website has been a real challenge for me because it's so detailed in certain aspects of it. And I've worked with a number of different people to create it. It hasn't just been with one person. And what I recognize is that certain people that I have worked with in the past have not understood me. It's like we're speaking two different, entirely different languages. And, you know, they'll ask me a question. I say, I don't know how to answer you. And I actually, in the creation of the nonprofit, the person who's helping me with that, I looked at them 2 days ago, and I looked at after 5 minutes of rambling at them, and I said, I don't know how to answer you. I don't even know what question to ask. I know what I need to do, but I said, I can't get my point across because I don't know how to do that right now. I have to think about it because the choice of words means so much. And so this actually does tie into the consciousness, and it ties into where we're going, because people have become more aware of what they're saying to each other and how they're, you know, how they're reacting towards themselves. Because I'm not a perfect person, you know. I am not a perfect person by any means. I'm actually, in many ways, have a very average, normal life with all the same issues and problems that other people have with, you know, money and relationships and all of this type of thing. Everyone has those. If you're in a human body, you're going to have issues of some kind. But the synchronicities and how the synchronistic world has been showing itself is actually interesting, because that has been speeding up over the course of the last few years. And if you remember last year, I think that probably a lot of people, I call, you know, I say that they were crazy last year. And the ETs actually told me about this time when there would be many, many people who, because of the different physical energies, one might say, that are out there, and because of how these synchronicities are being shown to us, it's kind of like saying that we're moving into a time of insanity. When it's hard to focus, it's hard to stay in one, looking at one thing, and it's becoming easier and easier now. It's lessening, and we're becoming much clearer, and it's as though we're coming out of a fog. Would you agree with
that? Absolutely.
Yes. And the synchronicities are crazy at times, because they're just happening left and right. At least once a day I have a synchronicity.
I live in a synchronistic world. It's quite startling at times. What's amazing is when other people recognize the synchronicity within other people's lives. That kind of thing gives me goosebumps, because then it makes me know that, hey, they saw it. Yay. Okay. Maybe they'll actually acknowledge it, and they'll, you know, do something with this now.
What about go ahead, Mary.
It's like describing it this way, okay? If the universe is made up of a round pond of water, and in the center of the pond a pebble is dropped, the very first thing that happens is at least one ripple moves out. Now, let's pretend that little pebbles keep getting dropped into the water. Okay, and the pebbles get smaller and smaller and smaller, which means that the first ripple that's going towards the shore is going to be the biggest, the strongest. These are the people that are out in the forefront. They're the ones that are being called crazy. They're the ones that, you know, who are seeing things, seeing the unseen. They're the ones that are beginning to understand the synchronistic world, to put together information, to put together ideas and thoughts about energies that the scientists are only beginning to understand today. Those people are the ones that are really sensitive. They are normally psychic or healers, gifted in some way. Maybe they play music, or they're artists, or they're exceptional and unique in our world. These people are the first ripples. It does not mean that the rest of the pond is not connected to that. It means that as the pebbles get smaller and smaller, every ripple that goes out becomes clear, becomes, you know, is going to the same direction. They're all headed towards the shore. The difference is that at some point, the pond is filled with ripples, and that the very center, the smallest, tiniest ripple, are the ones that are the least awake. And so this is how it has always been. Now, what is happening is that some of those ripples that are moving out with the consciousness and with the understanding of consciousness is becoming stronger and stronger. So instead of the pebbles getting smaller and smaller, some of those pebbles that were dropped in ended up getting bigger and bigger. So there's been massive awakenings of consciousness. And when that happens, you see the world in a completely different way. And there has to be a time of chaos in order for our minds, our bodies, and our souls to adjust to that.
Yeah. What I was going to mention was I've noticed also a huge increase of, not only with myself, but a lot of different people with telepathic connections with each other. For example, my Japanese is not that great, and I was at a restaurant, and I was trying to express something in Japanese. And before I was able to finish, the girl, who also was in Japanese but didn't speak English, we were trying to talk, and she just knew what I was saying. So there was no language. She just knew and just answered the question, what I was trying to ask. And it's common to have that with, you know, it happens a lot with my wife, but to have that happen with strangers is amazing.
Yeah. You know, you're right. And that has been happening more and more on a much more consistent basis. And you will find, I'm sure not just for you, Ramon, but for all people, that the more connected you become within, the more that happens with the person, no matter who they are. It's an automatic. And it is because within ourselves, we each individual has the capacity to connect in to any other human being at any other time. It doesn't necessarily mean that you both have to be connected. It means that you do, Ramon. So good for you for connecting in and being so open and awake and aware. And there's, you know, there's senders and receivers, and it's a very beautiful dance to watch once you start to see the clues all around you for how our world actually exists. And I think the greatest one is connecting in with nature and watching and learning from nature with that same openness that you're talking about with the telepathy, because that also, that is very, very, very strong in nature, all nature. And if you wanted to open up yourself further, Ramon, just go outside and start to have a conversation with a apple or an ant or a pebble. It'll be fascinating, and it helps to strengthen your connection with human beings.
I just started to do that with my I just started growing an herb garden inside my house. So I started doing that with them, and I even have my wife talking to them. And we're taking care of them like it's our kids.
Beautiful. Very nice. And I'm glad to hear that you're growing something, because, of course, I keep telling everyone they need to get their heritage and heirloom seeds. And they need to do that as quickly as possible. And they need to prepare themselves for that, because, you know, our world is a changing place. And with some of the earth changes that are coming and that have already made their presence known, it would be a good idea to be able to feed your family, and we can't do that with genetically modified seeds. So if you can get your
heritage, and they're still pretty easy to find on the internet right now. Last year I bought enough to plant a garden with, and just out of that, and it was just a little garden, 15 feet by like 30 feet long, and I generated enough seeds out of that little garden probably to plant a garden 10 times that size next year.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of it. Collect your seeds afterwards.
Yeah, especially the way they've been attacking on people who are trying to organically grow things and collect water. I just find it ridiculous that you're not allowed to do something that we've been doing
Was that Since bill SR 510 or something like that that they're trying to pass through here to make selling any organic, even to your neighbor, illegal? That's ridiculous. So.
Yes. Well, I think that's, you know, this is about a shift in consciousness, and the shift in consciousness goes in both directions. There's people who are going to become more radically attached to one idea or concept as opposed to another. And so even in this changing time with the opening of consciousness, it means that the gap is getting wider and wider in what we're seeing. I mean, to me, it's insane. It is pure insanity. But what's insane is that through controls like this, that the world's resources are not going to be kept balanced. And what we need to do is we need to find new ideas, such as, you know, earth domes and the collection of water, and the protection of our waters on this earth, I think should be a primary focus for the entire people, every single life on this earth right now, because our waters are drying up. And so, you know, we have our seeds being destroyed for our foods. We have our waters being destroyed in all forms, whether it's fresh water or ocean waters, as we've seen with what happened with BP. And we need to start taking some a closer look at ourselves within and take personal responsibility in our own lives. And through that comes the great gathering of humanity in coming together to be able to make these changes a reality and save what it is that we have left. The earth may continue, but the question is, what life will continue with it?
Mm-hmm. The one good thing I've noticed with these crazy laws is that the average person who would usually say, oh, you know, you're into your conspiracies and crap and stuff like that, and are now, you know, sending me Facebook like, oh, did you hear about this or did you hear about that? And it's almost like a backhand to their faces where it's, you know, shaking them up like, no, your reality is not what you thought it was. This is what's really happening. So I find that these crazy laws are actually helping to wake people up.
Well, I think that they are helping to wake people up. And one of the things that I try to explain to people that, you know, I've had people around me for, you know, forever saying that I was crazy. And what I know as the truth, there's still not a single human being alive that could tell me that, you know, these ETs don't exist. I mean, I just simply, you know, I find it irrational for them not to be able to at least, you know, think, you know, about the possibilities of that. So I believe that it's important for us to be very gentle with those around us that are not as, quote, awake and aware as we are, and that what we need to do is we need to pay attention to, you know, where they're at and really walk, you know, through this life as an example. And that's how we show people what the reality actually is, when you become an example. When you say to someone, I've chosen to grow a garden today because of these laws, period. You don't have to explain anything. Hey, when they start learning about what those laws are and you start giving them information a little bit, man, I'm telling you, people are going to jump all over it and they're going to begin educating themselves. And that's through the process of being self-aware, to being spiritually aware of who you are. And spiritually means just whatever it is that you believe in, whether it be God or whether you're, you know, whether you're religious, spiritual, Buddhist, whatever the case may be, whatever your belief is.
Subtlety is our friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask how much time we have
left
on the program.
Now,
that's okay. Funny because I was just about to say that.
Yeah. So actually, Miriam, if you've got anything that you would like to get out there besides your website and your book and such, any final statement?
I actually do. My website, the website that I have going right now is Blue Star Prophecy. bluestarprophecy.com. That's bluestarprophecy.com. And you can purchase a book through my website, which actually helps to support my work. You can also, there's a blog there that you may be interested in, and lots of information that I'm sure that your listeners will find interesting. Also, the website coming up is thegreatgathering.org. Please just keep checking back. We are trying to do, you know, trying to get it up as soon as possible. It is coming, believe me, thegreatgathering.org. Just a matter of time. Check back once a week on that. I also wanted to let the listeners know, if there's anyone out there that's interested, that I have had a relationship with many people in Hopi, with the Hopi in Arizona, the Hopi Indians in Arizona, and that these people are very unique. It's a very unique group that's on the planet. They have one of the most talked about prophecies on the earth. Many of them, they're the most studied, sought after indigenous tribes on the planet. And they're also one of the most secretive. Their way of life is currently being threatened by people within their own nation to try and take away their rights to their, to quote, to their religious way of life. And they are asking for help from the public in any way that they can offer. And one of the things that they need right now is funding for, they need funding for attorneys that they can hire in order to protect their traditional way of life that they have had for thousands and thousands of years. Anyone that goes to my website, if you click on the donate, there's a special button that's just for Hopi, and 100% of the donation that goes in through that button for the Hopi will go directly to the Hopi and to pay their attorney fees. So if anyone out there is interested in helping, please do so. If they have anything else that they wanted to donate, please feel free to contact me. But it's a very important issue because, you know, it's important that we pay attention to the rights of all people and that we do not sit by idly and allow the rights of such a remarkable people to be squashed at the hands of the few for what I believe to be money. And I'm asking people to contribute to helping them. So I appreciate being on the show. Thank you very much for being here.
And if anybody would like some more information on the what's going on there at the Hopi, with the Hopi, go to Miriam's Blue Star Prophecy website. She has quite a bit of information there. And you can read up, and she's got some videos there that you can watch and inform yourself on what's really going on there. It was quite eye-opening when I watched it the other day. So,
if you missed the website, you can also, when you go onto our webpage, just click on her picture, and it'll take you right to her website.
Well, thank you again, Miriam, and I want to thank everybody for listening. Also, Ramon and I work on a donation basis, too, so we got a donate tab on our website, and we've got some really good guests coming up here in the next couple of weeks, so everybody stay tuned and check us out every Wednesdays at 5, and what do you got, Ramon, anything else?
I was going to say to Miriam, thank you very much, and when the website comes up, please let us know so we can put a link onto our website and also rebook you again. It was a great pleasure, and thank you so much.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you again sometime in dream, maybe.
Yeah, well, hopefully this one you'll be conscious today.
Exactly.